coming at you live from the Tactical Operating Center of the G Camp in rural North Carolina. Amid the Mossy Oak Militia and the boys that are always DTB, that's down to Boogaloo, it's Radio Contra. I'm your host, NC Scout, and we had a little bit of Green Eyes. Green Eyes is probably the most famous song by a very obscure band. Little known guys from the early 80s, early to mid 80s new wave of British heavy metal scene. Some really famous bands that came out of that, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden among them. But it was a lot of good stuff, man. It was a lot of good stuff that was buried down in there, a lot of hidden gems. And Green Eyes, I've always thought, was really cool, especially when you're creeping around at night with your night vision on and you've got that little green glow going on. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. That song switches on in your mind. You're ready to go do bad things to bad people. Anyway, little bit of news and bits that is making headlines right now. Wu flu has spread to Italy. They do have some deaths. I don't have the exact number sitting in front of me, but it's over 200 confirmed cases, which means that number is probably going to double in the coming weeks, and I see it spreading across Europe. Now, what that has to do with a lot of other things, what impacts it has yet to be seen. But what we do know is yesterday we had a pretty big sell-off on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The S&P 500 also is in the middle of a sell-off. Yesterday it lost 1,000 points. Dow Jones lost 1,000 points, and it is currently having some trouble today as well. A lot of unsettlement going on. A lot of people are starting to get scared. The reality of a pandemic is setting in. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that if you're into preparedness, this is the stuff that we prepare for. So with that said, how's your food stockpile looking? I know how mine looks. If you find yourself deficient, go check out Augustin Farms. Augustin Farms is a site affiliate of American Partisan. Check them out. Click on the link in the sidebar. I'll have a link below. But Augustin Farms, I normally buy one of their 30-day buckets at least every other month, sometimes more as funds allow. And the food is pretty good. If you're looking at feeding a family, not just individually, but if you're looking at feeding a family of people, feeding people in mass, Augustin Farms is really a good way to go. They have 30-day buckets. It's got all your calorie needs for 30 days per individual. It's good stuff. And the food actually tastes pretty good. There's a lot of freeze-dried stuff out there that is not really necessarily that great. Augustin Farms, in my experience, is actually palatable. I can get other family members to eat it. And they prefer it to MREs. So I know that might not be saying much, but it is something, am I right? It's better than starving. Anyway, with that said, in political news, Bernie Sanders is shaping up to be the guy for the Democrat Socialists. And man, are they freaking out about that. The media is in full meltdown. The Democrat Party is in full meltdown. And they're not quite sure what they're going to do. You know, and it's kind of interesting because Bernie Sanders is not actually a Democrat. So because he is a registered independent and has been all along in this process, it's going to be very interesting to me politically to see how the Democrat Politburo spins this to try and screw him out of the nomination again. And they will. Now, the dangerous thing about that is, what about all his followers? They're skewer pretty young. They're young. They're the college types. They're the college kid crowds. If you look at the people that are supporting Bernie Sanders, they're mostly millennials, so they are my age or younger. These people are going to be involved in the political scene for a long time. And when you couple that reality of just age demographics with the fact that the Wuhan virus, Wu flu, seems to be having an impact on our economic system, the potential is there to cause some major issues, some pretty big shakeups politically. So, yeah, all of you that had Trump slump, oh, our guy's in, we're good to go, everything will be just fine. We don't need to prep, we don't need to train, you know, whatever. We'll just go hang out at the square range, maybe zero our rifle once a year. And, yeah, you're not good. You are not safe. So you will reap what you have sown. But fortunately enough, there are a lot of people out there that actually are training. Over the weekend, I had the great pleasure of training a full class in a fighting carbine course that I run here in North Carolina. Had an absolutely amazing time. Those guys learned a whole lot. I've got a review of that course already, surprisingly enough. One of the guys that was in the class shot me a review already and got that up on AmericanPartisan.org. Go check it out. But taking guys that are young guys, you know, younger than me, you know, and I'm a millennial and these guys are younger than me, and coming out there and, you know, some of them never having been to any type of carbine class before. They've seen videos on YouTube. They've got their AR and everything. They've got all their setup. And for having them come out and train for their very first time and leaving there saying they are confident to use their weapon in a combat situation, whether it's something going bump in the night or, you know, it's time to DTB, that's a big deal to me. That is a big deal to me. That tells me that I accomplished my mission in helping them accomplish theirs. So come on out. You know, if you're on the fence about training, I urge every person who buys a firearm of any type to go out and get training. If you want to be effective with it, I would learn from the guys who have used them in real life and use them in places that people were shooting back at them in non-permissive environments, preferably. And there's a lot of good trainers out there, not just myself. There's a lot of guys out there that have experience, that have a lot of very good, strong qualifications to teach this stuff. So I would go out there and get all the training that I can, that I can afford. You know, and again, I'm just one guy out of a crowd of many, many good trainers. But one thing that I do want to emphasize in this episode is the common man, the approach of the common man. So we opened the floor up to our Patreon supporters over on Patreon and said, you know, hey, what is it that you want me to talk about specifically on Radio Contra? What topics do you want me to cover? And we got some pretty good answers. There were a couple of answers on there that I can't really address in one single episode, so we're going to break it up and kind of do some things with it. But one really, really good one was, very simply put, cover topics for the common man. There's a lot in the tactical training community that, you know, doesn't necessarily correlate to civilians. And with that said, it's interesting. It's an interesting approach, I think, and a very pragmatic approach. One that I try to cover in my writing and one that I try to cover here on this podcast, and definitely one that I address in my training classes. And that is keeping things simple, keeping it for the common man, and that practical loadout. So this next segment is brought to you by Arrow Precision. They make their barrels. They have sub-minute of angle guaranteed barrels and some of the best for the money, hands down. I've had several of them come through classes, whether it was the Scout course or the carbine classes that I've run. I have not seen one fail yet. They've all ran absolutely flawlessly, are every bit as accurate as they claim to be. They back their stuff up and they stand behind their product 100% and then some. I think that if you are looking for accuracy out of your AR platform, as all of you should be looking at Ballistic Advantage and Aero Precision. And don't forget, when you pair that with a Primary Arms Advanced Combat Sighting System Reticle Scope, you're going to have a winning combination. So getting back to the idea of the common man and a common man approach to equipment, it's what I call the Mossy Oak Militia. I've mentioned that many times now in many of the episodes of Radio Contra. And my approach in that is that it's not going to be the guys wearing the cool guy Gucci camo and all the Gucci gear who are going to be the ones who are really serious out there in all this. It's going to be the young guys wearing Mossy Oak, wearing Realtree, wearing just whatever basic stuff they can get their hands on. Rugged clothes, common off-the-shelf items, right? That's what's going to end up winning the day, all right? So, not tactical, not bullshit, no CAG wannabe, just simple, affordable, and above all else, practical use items. So, I take the approach personally that less is a whole lot more, right? And so, when we talk about gear, we break it down into three basic lines. They are layered to accomplish my needs, all right? So, line one is what is on your body, also known as an everyday carry. And my line one gear is pretty much the same no matter where I go, right? It's going to be what I carry on my body every day. Line two is a fighting load. So this is going to support my fighting with a carbine. Let's say, you know, the gunfight has started, whatever support gear that I need to carry for my rifle or for my carbine. All right, and then finally, line three. Line three is my mission support gear. This is the stuff that I'm going to be carrying on my back, right? And since we don't normally step out of the house carrying an AR-15 or an AK-47 and wearing a chest rig or a plate carrier, most of us do not do that, right? We need to start with our line one or our everyday carry equipment. So my EDC is very, very basic. You know, I operate these days out in the real world, out of my truck, whether I'm in the woods or I'm in town getting things done, whether I'm at work, whatever it is, but I basically have the same thing all the time, right? And really, your clothes are a big part of your everyday carry, all right? What you are wearing on your body is part of your everyday carry. Make sure your clothes are rugged, first of all, and above all else, they're rugged, and that they are functional, right? I wear functional clothes. I don't really care that much about being in style or looking good or whatever. It doesn't matter to me, right? I just want to have functional clothes on, and above that, I want to look like everybody else. I want to be just another face, another body in the crowd. I avoid wearing message clothing, things that have distinct symbols on them, anything that advertises my personal beliefs. I don't really wear anything like that, right? If I'm typically going to be wearing t-shirts with something really obscure on it, outdoors type stuff, hiking type stuff, or work clothes type things. You know, outdoors clothes, I get a lot from Moose Jaw. Moose Jaw is a site sponsor, affiliate of American Partisan, and Moose Jaw sells a lot of really good stuff. Solo boots, Scarpa, they've got a lot of really good brands. But, you know, I'm wearing everything that looks like everybody else, whatever everybody else is wearing, you know. And so that really circles back to the whole Mossy Oak Militia thing, which is a term that I just kind of came up with, because it's working class dudes that are just wearing what they can afford. They don't have the latest and greatest stuff. They're not trying to be a cool guy. They just have what they have, right? You know, and so the reality is that they're going to be wearing that. And it blends in the woods, but it also blends in the crowd. You know, and your camo really works two ways like that, right? You know, and so I'm also, from day to day, depending where I am, I'm going to be wearing Wranglers, Carhartt pants. I've got the same pair of Carhartt pants that I've been wearing for at least the past decade. This stuff literally never wears out. You know, got several pairs of Carhartts. Dickies is another one you can get at Walmart. They're about half the price. You know, same deal. They last a long time. Duluth Trading makes some excellent pants. That's typically what I will rock in carbine classes, because their fire hose pants are rugged as all get out, and I really like having those cargo pockets to stuff empty magazines down in when I'm doing speed reloads. Comfortable boots. Have appropriate boots for what you're doing. Hiking boots work really well. A Solo, Scarpa, Danner. You know, I've got several pairs of Danners. I've worn a Solos in the past. Scarpa is another really good boot brand that guys have worn. Definitely, if I'm going for a walk in the woods and I think that I might have to work in a tactical environment, I'm definitely going to be wearing a good pair of boots. All right. And it's not going to be MilSurp boots either. You know, military surplus boots are generally not the best for your feet. And they also make you look like a weirdo. You know, but if I'm wearing hiking boots, I blend in with everybody else. Also, have a sturdy belt. You know, here in the Southeast, in the wintertime, a leather belt is fine. I do wear a nylon belt normally because I have my t-shirt on the outside of my belt line, as well as whatever other overshirt I'm wearing, whether it's flannel or a button-down or whatever, to help me conceal carry. But have a sturdy belt on, and one that is suitable for carrying a firearm. What I'll also say is avoid looking like a tactical bullshit artist. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, the guy that wears, you know, all the cool guy shirts. I mean, I've got some cool guy shirts too from Ranger Up. But, you know the types that I'm talking about. 5'11 pants is a dead giveaway. All right, cops wear 5'11". Literally nobody else, right? Only cops wear 5'11 stuff, so don't do that. Don't run around, you know, with all the cool guy stuff on, because it makes you stand out in a crowd. So for me, inside the waistband, Kydex. You know, have a Kydex holster. I inside the waistband usually all year, especially if I am out and about doing stuff in town. I'm going to be wearing my Glock 19 IWB and I appendix carry, so I have it right there in the center. You know, some people don't like inside the waistband. Some people really don't like appendix carry, but just saying, it works for me. And it is very effective. I am very fast like that. And everybody I've trained with who operates in a similar way has those similar capabilities, right? I carry a small flashlight. I don't even know what brand it is. It was an Amazon special. It runs off of two AAA batteries and has a little push button on the back of it. It looks like a pen. It's made out of heavy-duty aluminum, and it didn't cost me very much. I carry that because we always need a light, right? I carry a folding knife, and specifically an Ontario Rat 1. Now, are there better folding knives out there? Yes. Yeah, no doubt. Are there better-for-the-money folding knives out there? I don't think so. The design is just about perfect. It doesn't look tactical. It is very, very functional. It is one long, straight edge with a little bit of belly that tapers at the end. So I can do fine cutting tasks as well as just my regular cutting tasks. It is also very easy to sharpen. And being AUS 8, it holds an edge for a reasonably long amount of time. And it's big enough at 3.5 inches. I don't have any worries carrying this thing anywhere. If I had to fight with it, it's designed to be effective enough. I've got a taper right there towards the hilt of the folding hinge of the knife. I can hook my index finger in and I won't have to worry about slipping up the blade. But yet, it is not designed to look tactical. So it's really effective, and that's why I carry it. I also carry a small Gerber tool. I have it on my keychain. It's just a small pair of pliers, Phillips head screwdriver, straight head screwdriver, and a bottle opener on it, because you always need a bottle opener. I will carry a spare magazine for my Glock 19, and I will also have a tourniquet. Because chances are if I get into a shooting match with someone, I'm not going to be the first one pulling the trigger. And either myself or somebody else is probably also going to be bleeding by the end of that, because it's just the reality of gunfighting. So I'm going to need a tourniquet for those extremity wounds to stop the bleeding. Right? And that's what I carry. I can carry all that on my body, on myself, and not attract a whole lot of attention. Now, if I go much more than that, I'm going to start attracting attention to myself. People are going to start looking at me. And that's where we come to what I call everyday mobility versus everyday carry. So with everyday mobility, this is really operating out of a vehicle. This is more supporting equipment that I can add to my basic loadout, my basic everyday carry, if the fight warrants it. And for me these days, it's going to be an AR pistol in the truck because it's nice and compact, 11.5-inch barrel with a pistol brace on it. It's very, very functional for me. However, that said, a 14.5-inch AR carbine works just dandy as well. And as I've talked about before in many posts, on the top of that, I'm going to be running a Primary Arms 1X Cyclops on that AR pistol because it is effective. It works very well in that red dot reflex sight role. And when I have it illuminated, works really, really well. It does not wash out in daylight. On that 14.5-inch AR, I have an ACOG. It's a standard 4x32 TA-01 ACOG. You know, I can run either one fairly quickly. The Cyclops, obviously being a 1X, is faster. But they both work really well. And I had a number of guys in carbine class over the weekend that had those Primary Arms Cyclops 1X scopes. And, man, they performed flawlessly. They did everything that we needed for them to do. Those guys had no problems getting on target. Incredibly fast. It functioned every bit as fast as the guys that were out there with EOTEX. And I had one gentleman with an aim point. Worked really, really well. And, so I couldn't be more satisfied with the functionality. But getting back to that everyday mobility, with that, I've got a double magazine pouch that I will put on my belt. And that double magazine pouch offers me 60 more rounds of 5.56. And I've been using the same Condor double mag pouch for well over a decade. Now, I know that might get a little heat for that statement because there's some guys that really like the poo-poo Condor out there. But, you know, hey, you can say what you want to, but that Condor mag pouch has worked for me. All right. I don't think I paid very much for it. It's multicam, so I think I might have paid less than $20 for it. But it was well over a decade ago. I've carried it. I know that I had it in Afghanistan. I might have had it before then. I really don't remember. But I've carried it for a long time and never had an issue with it. Never had an issue with stitching or anything else. But that double magazine pouch offers me a low profile. I can maintain a low profile. Put that on my belt, have the AR pistol in the truck. That offers me 90 rounds total, one magazine in the gun, two on my belt. I don't have an issue carrying that. I don't have an issue concealing that, especially in the winter months when I'm normally wearing a hoodie or a flannel shirt or a jacket of some kind that I can wear over top of it. That offers me 90 rounds total. If I fire all 90 rounds plus all the pistol ammo, the day has gone really, really bad. So, I don't foresee a situation, especially in an urban area, where I would have to fire that many rounds. So for an everyday mobility setup, that's what I've got. And again, I'll be wearing that magazine pouch on my non-dominant side, on my left side, because I'm right-handed. Makes it very quick to reload. And I was demonstrating that to the guys in a carbine class who had a wide variety of very effective gear setup. Everything else is support gear. And I do have a chest rig in the truck. UW gear, my buddy Hawkeye. I've got a number of rigs from him that are just top-notch quality. But if I'm going to be stepping off into the woods on a patrol, or I'm operating out of my vehicle and I need to carry more ammunition, as well as other support gear on my chest, that's what I'm reaching for. I'll typically have four magazines in there. I've got one chest rig from him that can carry up to eight, plus the two magazines on my belt. You know, if I'm running eight magazines on my chest and two on my belt, I've got 10 total plus one in the gun. That's a lot of ammunition. That is a lot of ammunition there. So I can stay in the fight for a long time, as well as support others who might be in the fight as well. And that eight magazine chest rig, by the way, is what he's calling the brush beater rig. It's a split front design. I approached him several years ago asking if he could do an eight magazine design specifically for extraction teams. When you are planning an extraction, if you've got recon teams that are out in the field, if you're on the extraction team, you need to be able to carry more ammunition, because you might have to resupply them during that extraction, as well as, probably do quite a bit of shooting yourself. So you're going to want to carry more ammo for that. What I also have as far as line three goes, a small kit bag and a larger kit bag. A small kit bag will have my IFAC in it, individual first aid kit. An individual first aid kit is not there for you to treat other people, right? It is there for other people to treat you and for you to treat yourself. So I'm going to have multiple tourniquets, right? I'm going to have at least one tourniquet for each of my extremities. The soft T tourniquets, those are really good with the plastic windlass. Those are really good to use on your upper body, on your arms, right? You're going to want to use the ones with the metal windlass on your legs because they're stronger. If you're like me and you've got thick legs, doing a lot of squats and doing a lot of ruck marching, you build those thighs up, you're definitely going to want a heavier duty windlass. So those are the soft T. I meant to say the other ones are combat application tourniquets are the ones with a plastic windlass. Soft T are the ones with the metal windlass. They're both really good. I'm also going to have a DMR radio. In my vehicle, I have at least two DMRs. And right now, I've had real, real good results with the Baofeng DM1701s. They offer a basic level of encryption. There's a 32-digit key that goes into that. And they also work with regular amateur radio stuff as well as a license-free radio. So I mean, it's a good thing, especially for under $100. The radio is really nice. I'm also gonna have a set of binos, that way I can see an extended distance. So I've got my observation tools there in my medical kit. I'm gonna have extra medical supplies to treat others. So that's gonna be a few extra tourniquets, as well as nasopharyngeal airways. An NPA, any of the guys that are listening that has done any advanced trauma courses knows about the March algorithm, which is something we'll talk about on a later date. I've got a buddy of mine. It's a 68 whiskey. We're going to try and have him on Radio Contra in the near future, and we're just going to be talking about medical topics. But an NPA guarantees that you have an airway. You shove it up the nose, right? Coban bandages. A Coban bandage, like, it's basically just a cling wrap. You can use this on legs, arms, whatever you need. It is compression on the cheap. So it is a far cheaper alternative to Israeli pressure dressings, what we used to call Israeli bandages. And they work. They work really, really well. And you can get those anywhere. Real good place to pick those up is Tractor Supply Company. I picked some up for some family members that had some injuries, some sprains and stuff. And I actually had a chiropractor in one of my classes not that long ago. And he was using Coban to show us how to actually put pressure on joint injuries. Which was kind of neat. We were having that conversation over breakfast, and he was showing us how to use it in an orthopedic context. And I thought that was really cool. So there's all kinds of fun stuff that you pick up like that. Another thing that I will typically carry is a PVS 14. You need to be able to see and operate at night. In the carbine class over the weekend on Saturday night, I had the guys play around with PVS 14 that I've got, a really old one. That's the old green tent. This, you know, one of the ones I used when I was in the Army. I picked up my own. Let them see the difference between that and the new white phosphor model. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have pictures of that up. I took some photos of the difference between the two. But it literally is like night and day. Those guys were blown away at what you can see. And I mean, the old PVS 14s with the green tint work really good. But those new ones with the white phosphor is no comparison. And speaking of, I picked mine up at Ready Made Resources. Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold. Excellent guy, excellent resource. His company, he's got all of your prepping supplies from food to night vision to lasers and to everything else in between that you might need. So go check him out. Tell him the NC Scout put out the good word, and he will hook you up for whatever it is that you might need in the coming days. And on that note, hit us up on Patreon. You know, if you like what we do, I'm trying to put out content for you guys at least twice a week, if at all possible, as my schedule allows for it. But if you like what we do, consider supporting us on Patreon. Definitely check out the links in the sidebar that we have. Some good companies out there that are supporting us and our mission so that I can in turn support you. But most of all, come out and train. So, looking at the course, we've got Privacy, Security, and Anonymity coming up the 7th and 8th of March here in North Carolina for $300. If you are at all concerned with your privacy, whether it's on the internet, whether it's in person, whether you're out in your operating environment, maybe wanting to make anonymous purchases, or really just poke holes in your operational security, this is the course for you. The rest of the courses that I have on the calendar up until May are full. However, I've got some spots left in the Signals Intelligence course, the 2nd and 3rd of May in Tennessee. That class is $300, and I've got some spots available in that. I will be at Heritage Life Skills the 8th, 10th of May, the 8th through the 10th. We're going to have a booth up there for American Partisan, as well as Brush Beater Training and Consulting. I'll be teaching three different courses there. They're just hour to an hour and a half a piece. to cover a few different topics. The rest of the time I'm going to be hanging out, and come by and hang out, ask some questions, spend a little time, and I would love to get to meet you. After that, I've got a few spots left in the RTO and advanced RTO course in Wisconsin, the 25th through the 28th of June. You're going to be getting two classes together over a 4-day span. That is a killer deal. Normally I charge extra when I have to travel. You're getting all of the combo classes that you can bundle together right there together. Coming to you in Wisconsin for $600. After that, I've got the RTO course, 1st and 2nd of August, here in North Carolina, as well as a tracking course in August. We ran the first tracking course last fall, had an absolute blast, had a lot of really good responses from that, and we're going to be running it again. Fighting Kalashnikov, 29th and the 30th of August, so fighting carbine course. The same things that we covered in there, using a Kalashnikov this time. And if you don't have an AK, but you want to learn how to run an AK, I have a weapon available for you. Get in touch with me. I've got extras. I can rent you one, as well as sell you some ammo for the class. Just hit me up if you are in need. But it would be a good idea to learn how to use the AK, because it is the most prolific firearm in the world. For 6 September, I've got the Scout course, 3-day class here in North Carolina. Got some long-range action going on there, a lot of crawling around in the woods, small unit tactics. Going to be a whole lot of fun. And after that, the readout communications course. The first one is sold out in June. The one in September, the 15th through the 20th in Wyoming. Got a few spots left available in that. So come check it out. Come check it out. And not only that, but looking at the fall, there's a lot of instability. We've got a literal communist running for the presidency of the United States. And a whole lot of people are perfectly fine with that. We've got a virus. We've got multiple viruses. We've got economic instability because of that virus. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. There's a lot of bad things going on. And it might get worse. Then again, it could also get better. How trained are you? And how serious are you taking your training? I know where I stand on that. Hopefully you do too. As always, it's been my pleasure, and I will talk to you soon. It's NC Scout, out.